Our guest today is Dr. Lewis Newman, a longtime Dean of Academic Advising and Associate Vice Provost for Undergraduate Education at Stanford University and a celebrated scholar of Jewish ethics. His newest book, Thinking Critically in College, The Essential Handbook for Student Success, examines where colleges and universities are falling short and teaching the critical skill of critical thinking needed for success in college and beyond. The book also examines how a lack of critical thinking education has begun to erode and undermine our very democracy. Dr. Newman, welcome into the program today. And I was looking over the review, and I will tell you that I have talked to some of the folks who are in the colleges in our immediate area, talking about the lack of critical thinking in college, and they were pretty excited to hear what you have to say on the program today about your book, Thinking Critically in College, The Essential Handbook for Student Success. Talk to me about that book.
Well, sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me on your program. The book arose in a particular moment when I was speaking with one of my students at Carleton College, where I taught for more than 30 years. And in the course of that conversation, it dawned on me that this very lovely senior, who was actually a very successful student, had really not mastered some of the basics of how we think critically in college. And I was a little surprised because she was a very good student, and I thought it was something she would have known by this point. And yet it occurred to me that we had never really taught it to her very directly and clearly, myself included. And so I began to think, what would it take for us to really introduce students at the very outset of their college careers to the sort of basics of how you think analytically, which many students in high school haven't been exposed to? So I began to think about that more and do research on it. And the result about 10 years later is this book.
Whenever we look at that particular topic, you indicate that different age groups in different parts of the country may look at the notion of critical thinking in different ways.
Well, truthfully, I don't think so too much, honestly. Maybe different age groups. I think it's certainly true that students in elementary school and secondary school have different abilities, and their ability to think abstractly grows as they get older. And so what we can expect of them may shift over time. And certainly by the time we get to college, we expect our students to be able to think at a very high level, very, very abstractly and critically. And I think the point of my book is that the basics of how we do this are pretty well established. And faculty know these things because they themselves have had to learn them in the course of their own education. My point is that I think we could be teaching them better to students than we sometimes do. So I don't think there's any real regional difference or even disciplinary difference, frankly. The basics of critical thinking are going to be different in chemistry than they are in history, of course. They're different subjects. But there are certain basic ways in which we think critically, looking at evidence, comparing alternatives, looking at the context in which a particular piece of evidence arises. These are all things that we do in every discipline and frankly, at every stage of life.
I think you mentioned something along the line of whenever we read an article, we should be asking ourselves what is the question that the writer is trying to answer, and or where are they coming from with the content that they are presenting?
That's correct. I think that's one of the key pieces. In fact, it was very much along those lines that the conversation I had with the student I mentioned a moment ago was in very, very much like that. I think it's critical that we ask ourselves every time we read something, we play what I like to call sort of playing Jeopardy, following the famous television game show. That is to say, we always want to be asking, what question was this person, or questions, if there's more than one, was this person attempting to answer? Because when we ask ourselves that question, we can get behind what the person is saying. We begin to understand what the point of this is. What are they trying to accomplish? who are they speaking to? What assumptions were they making? What questions were they bothered by? And when we begin to ask ourselves those questions, we're reading deeply instead of just reading along the surface and trying to absorb the information. We're putting that information in a broader context. And that's one element, certainly one important element of critical thinking.
That made me think about several years ago, I was teaching film study at a community college, and I showed the students the movie leading up to World War II, The Triumph of the Will, also The Birth of a Nation, which followed up the Civil War, which was the foundation of the Ku Klux Klan. And I wrapped up the study by showing The Eye on the Prize, which was a series of films about the birth of the civil rights movement in this country. I think for a period of time, my students hated me because I was forcing them to compare the alternatives and think which way you want to go on this content.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. I think it's important always for us to push our students to think critically by showing them alternatives and forcing them to notice what's different about the alternatives. And in particular, maybe in your case, the case you mentioned, looking at the implications of choosing one of those alternatives versus another. And there are always implications of different kinds. And getting students to look at that is one other element, I think, of what we mean by critical thinking.
I think one of the outcomes of that, too, is as you look at those, you have to weigh the evidence that has been presented. Is the evidence sustain itself? Does it support itself? Or is it theory? So weighing evidence seems to me to be an important component of that.
Absolutely. In my book, in the chapter in which the chapter I call Critical Thinking 101, which is one of the key chapters in the book, I outline what I think are the four basic pillars of critical thinking. I should add here that there are many people who use the words critical thinking in many different ways, and there's a whole literature on this subject. And I tried to build my book around the things that I knew we expected students to be able to do in college. And I think there are basically four of them, and one of them is absolutely weighing evidence. And weighing evidence involves actually a number of steps. It involves the amount of evidence, the quality of evidence, where is the evidence coming from? If we, for example, read a study that says eating lots of sugar is actually good for you, well, it may turn out that the people who funded that study were in the sugar industry and had a vested interest in making people believe that eating a lot of sugar would be good for them. Right? We want to look behind the evidence. Where is it coming from? How persuasive is it? How conclusive is it? And so forth. And I think these are all skills that we try to impart to students in college in a whole range of different ways.
It seems in my college career, there was a lot of different applications to where you wanted to memorize as much as you possibly could. And that's what you had to show up on the test, is how much was you able to memorize from the content that we have covered. But in your book, it says you need to be able to apply some of the knowledge, I guess, of wisdom that you've learned and studied, apply it to a real life or real life situations.
Right. Well, I want to say clearly, there are certainly courses in college and throughout life where simply memorizing information is a part of what we need to do. The classic example is learning a foreign language. There's a lot of vocabulary you just need to master, and you just need to remember those words and remember those grammatical forms and so on. That's just part of learning a language. If you're studying chemistry, you need to learn the periodic table and you need to remember all those different elements and their properties. But that's just memorization. That's something that most of us have had plenty of experience with by the time we get to college, because we've had to do a lot of that in our elementary and secondary education. What's challenging for most students about college is not that they have more stuff to memorize. It's that they have to do more than just memorize in many cases. They're going to have to, as you just said, apply that information. So, for example, we'll teach students a particular theory, and then on the test, instead of just spitting that back, will ask a question that requires them to apply that theory to something they haven't actually had to apply it to before. And that's the way in which we challenge them to show us that they really grasped it deeply. They didn't just spit it back at us in exactly the same form. They could actually use it in a way that was novel and that required them to really demonstrate mastery of the concepts. That's what makes college more challenging in many cases than high school was for most students. And that's what my book is focused on, is to really help students make that transition from simply regurgitating, as we sometimes say, the information that was presented to them, and actually showing that they can, demonstrating that they can use it, that they can apply it, that they can see its implications and new applications.
The name of the book is Thinking Critically in College, the Essential Handbook for Student Success. Who needs to be the primary reader of this book?
Well, as I said, I really wrote the book for college students. My life has been spent as a college professor in these last years as a full-time administrator, but nonetheless in the context of working in college education. So my book is really designed for and written to, very directly to the college student. My hope is that faculty will also read the book because they will find it useful to use the book in teaching these concepts to their students in whatever disciplines they teach in. In the course of writing the book, I conferred with a lot of students and a lot of colleagues to get their input on what would be most helpful, how to present this material, what examples would be most useful, and so on. So my hope is that it will be useful to college students and to their teachers. At the same time, I think it could be very useful to high school students, maybe particularly juniors and seniors, as they prepare to make that transition to college. And my hope is that high school teachers who are assigning books to students might also consider using this book in their courses. I guess finally, the last audience perhaps for the book would be just about anybody who is interested in learning how to think a little more rigorously and critically. So needless to say, we all read the news. There are lots of people out there in the world who are gullible, there always have been, who will believe things without looking closely at the evidence behind them. And the book is really a handbook in helping you think more critically about pretty much anything you might encounter, whether it's on the internet, whether it's claims that are made on behalf of a particular drug or a particular investment that somebody is trying to sell you or who knows what, that you would want to stop and ask yourself certain kinds of questions that would help you discern whether this is really a good investment, a good medical treatment, a good choice to make, and so on. And I think the book could be useful, though it's written directly to college students with a lot of college-related examples, it could be useful to people at any point in life who just simply want to refresh their understanding of what critical thinking looks like.
Dr. Lewis E. Newman, author of the book, Thinking Critically in College, the Essential Handbook for Student Success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.